And you say amen.
If you have your Bibles, you brought your Bibles with you, we are going to look at one scripture at the beginning, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. All the scriptures will be on the screen and we will be taking notes. If you'd like to take notes, I will fill in the blanks for you as we go along. We've been hitting doctrine pretty much and the promises of God a lot and you know, all these wonderful, wonderful theological ideas. So I'm kind of shifting gears a little. And we're going to talk about marriage. Making marriage great again. That is the name of the series. Making marriage great again. I know we have a new president. And him and his staff are making some serious changes for the health and the welfare of our country, radical changes to make America great again. They close the border. They are pressuring Mexico and Canada to bolster their security on their side of the fence so horrible fentanyl will stop flowing into our country and criminals. I've known people who have died from fentanyl. Very young people, it just breaks my heart. So I'm glad that's happening. And we know that he is pushing for the criminals that are not legal to go back to their countries, and the countries have agreed to accept them. He's trimming down excess spending in government. He's communicating with world leaders saying, hey, listen, America is going to take care of its own. It's making all kinds of changes. It's insane in my mind how off track and off the rails our country went in a matter of years, a few years. And I think the average American lost hope of good things really coming back. I think there were many times when people thought, there's nothing I can do. But then the election came and changes are happening. You know, marriage in America is in trouble. The family's in trouble. And big changes are needed in our marriages, in our families. And so I want to focus on things the Bible tells us about we can do, implement into our marriages to make marriages great again. I read about a marine biologist. He did an experiment with a barracuda. He put a barracuda in a big, large fish tank. And then he put some bait fish along with the barracuda. And you know what happened? Barracuda ate them all. And then the biologist decided to take the barracuda out. And he put a piece of glass in the middle of the big tank. And then he put the barracuda on one side of the tank and the bait fish on the other side of the tank. And it was just a matter of moments for the barracuda to go attack the bait fish. But he hit the piece of glass. And every few minutes, according to the study, the barracuda would go attack again, but found a piece of glass and couldn't eat the bait fish. He did it again and again and again until he gave up. A few days later, the experiment happened again. Same results. Until eventually, the barracuda stopped chasing after the bait fish. And then the biologist took the glass out of the tank. And the results were amazing. The barracuda would not eat the bait fish. They would just swim around freely, no big deal. But in the barracuda's mind, if they do have a brain, in the barracuda's mind, there was still a glass in the middle of the tank preventing him from eating the fish. I'm thinking, in relationships that are in trouble, in relationships that have gone stale, the couples feel like they have unsuccessfully tried again and again and again to deal with a certain issue, and it's not working. And eventually they come to the point where they feel like in their minds, there's nothing else I can do for this relationship, and they give up trying. So I want us to think of how to fix that through the Bible. Several years ago, during Super Bowl Sunday, just before Super Bowl Sunday, an ad came out in the Colorado newspaper. The heading was this: "We'll trade." And this is how it read: "We'll trade my non-cooking, non-shopping wife with attitude problem for one Super Bowl ticket. Call Jim number," and the ad ended, "Please hurry." I'm sure he didn't get a ticket. But that's obviously, it may have been obviously a joke, but that's maybe a frustrated husband who don't know what else to do with this girl. So how do we make marriage great again? James Dobson was a psychologist of another time. He's not in heaven, right? Is James Dobson dead? Yeah. What? He's still living? No kidding. James Dobson? He retired. Okay. So he said this: "My advice is that you change that which can be altered in a relationship, explain that which can be understood, teach that which can be learned, revise that which can be improved, resolve that which can be settled, and negotiate that which is open to compromise." For your notes, I want you to write down these words: poor communication. Poor communication is one of the main reasons why relationships become stale and they eventually break apart. So Proverbs 25:11, God gives us some seriously good counsel for good communication. The wise man Solomon writes this: "The right word at the right time is like precious gold set in silver." When you put gold with the background of silver, gold stands out, shines. It's like, man, if you go buy a big rock for your wife, diamond, you go to the jeweler and he's going to set it up so all the sparkle comes out. They say that women's best friend are diamonds, while man's best friend is a dog. I was thinking about it. That just doesn't balance out. But anyway, you know, let's say you want to buy a diamond for a wife. You go to the jeweler, and he sets it on this black velvet and puts it under a light because it just sparkles. And I think what the wise man was trying to tell us is that when you have thoughtful words in your relationship, when I have thoughtful words in my relationship, they're gentle, they're at the right time, they shine and make a great impression on my loved one, on my darling bride. So I got to watch out on how I speak and what I say, because the wrong words spoken with the wrong intonation, they give a very bad message. I'm pretty sure I told you about the time I was walking at Walmart and there was this couple in front of me, and the guy was walking behind his wife with a magazine in his hand. I think it was a fishing magazine because I followed them around a little. I wasn't being a stalker. Every once in a while, the guy would be like glancing at his magazine, all right? The woman ultimately stopped and turned around and told him to stop looking at the magazine. And in a very bad way, she said, "I am not buying you that magazine. You have those expletives, you know, and bad words. You have those things all over the house. You're not gonna get another one. Put that thing down." Just one of those things. Okay, I'm out of here, you know. You know, I thought, man, I'm glad I'm not married to that beast. Made me think of the guy who said, I may be a henpecked husband, but you have to see the hen that's doing the pecking. Yeah, I'm like, no, not me. Not good. So the right words at the right time, says the wise man from Proverbs, is precious. Like gold in settings of silver. So we need to be careful how we address our loved ones in a way that would be the way Jesus addressed people and acted along with people. For your notes, write this down. I want to challenge you to communicate your love for your mate in a way that is heart-reaching and difference-making. Use words that are heart-reaching. For your note, saying I love you, write those words I love you in your blank, often makes a world of difference or a variation of I love you. So Solomon is a hot, hot, sizzling hot book of two couples expressing their love for each other. They communicate their love vividly and effectively. And so the man in Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 9, he says these amazing words to his girl. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Having the mind that I have, I thought, okay, he just compared her to a horse. But in those days, that was a thing of beauty. It still is, a horses, right? But he calls her my love, and that's what grabbed me out of this scripture. He calls her my love. And I want to ask you, you don't have to answer, obviously, when was the last time you said, I love you to your loved one? I know we do that with our cell phones. All right, love you, bye. Clink. That, you know, it's like, that doesn't even mean anything. I love you, bye. But it does, it does. But when was the last time you actually went out of your way to say to your mate, I love you, or to your loved ones in your family that you're very close to, I love you? The word love sort of kind of reaffirmed that foundation of a relationship. Jesus said this words, John chapter 13, verse 34, and of course Jesus is addressing his disciples. He's not addressing a marriage seminar. But he says to them, a new command I give to you. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. What if that applied to marriage? Love your mate as Jesus loves you. Wow. That'll make a world difference. If we loved our mates and share with our mates the kind of love that God has given us. So for your notes, write the words God honoring, please, in the next blank. Love your mates in a God honoring way, and that makes a big difference. So what I want to do for the rest of our time together, y'all, I want to go back to something we covered several years ago called The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. And, you know, as I was studying this thing, I noticed in my own thinking of Jesus Christ and how he lived on earth, he exhibited all five of those love languages. So my challenge in reading through them and studying them is I want to show those kind of love languages to my best friend and my loved one, Doreen. Just like Jesus showed these love languages to the people he came in touch with. So, to improve communication, for your notes, please, in your marriage, you want to find out your spouse's love language. So ask yourself, what's my love language? And then most importantly as well is, what is my wife's love language? What is my husband's love language? What is my kids' love language? Because you need to love your people according to their love language, and that will make a difference in their minds. Okay? I'll explain myself here in just a minute. So you want to communicate your love to your mate according to your mate's love language, not necessarily according to your love language, even though we're supposed to express the five love languages all the time to our mates. Everybody with me? Go like this if you're like, I'm not sure. Okay. Number one. Here's the first love language. I want you to think about how you love others. I saw somebody go like this. All right, whatever, man. All right, number one, words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. You know, the Lord Jesus affirmed people a lot in his ministry. You remember when he went to Peter? Peter says, Lord, I'm going to die for you. I will go all the way. I don't care if these guys don't follow you. I'll do anything for you. And then Jesus said to him, tonight, you're going to deny me three times, right? But then Jesus says to Peter, after you have failed, you are going to lead your brothers. That's an affirmation. You are, so Jesus is saying to Peter, yeah, you're going to fail big time. But you're going to come back strong. And when you do, lead my brothers and my sisters. He was painting a picture to Peter of the upcoming church and the kind of way God was going to use Peter. Sometimes we get so down that we feel like there's no tomorrow, but God still has a plan. Do you remember when John the Baptist was put in jail? I mean, he was the front runner to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching away, calling all the religious leaders, whatever they need to be called, right? You know, get right with God, repent. He was baptizing people. And then Jesus shows up into the scene, and everybody flocks to Jesus, and everybody leaves John behind. And eventually, John fights his way to jail, where he eventually lost his head. Remember? Do you remember what John, he said to his disciples, the couple of cats that were left? He said, hey, go to Jesus and ask him if he's really the one we were waiting for. And they came and asked Jesus. And do you remember one of the responses Jesus gave? Jesus said, yes, John was the one. In fact, there's been no one greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. Oh, talk about lift me up. That's how Jesus was. He had words of affirmation. There's a time in the Bible when a Roman soldier sends his people to Jesus and says, please come, please say the word so that my servant is healed. And Jesus said, let's go to his house. And the Roman soldier sends a message back saying, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, Lord. I'm not even worthy to come meet you. That's why I'm sending my servants. He said, but I know. I am a man of power, and I say the word, and my people do what I ask them. And I know that if you say the word, Lord, it's going to be done. And Jesus said about this man, and I'm sure they brought the message back to him. He said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. That's found in Matthew chapter 8, by the way, if you want to check me out on this. Words of affirmation. If you're a person whose love language is the words of affirmation, you love affirming people. In fact, write this down for you. Know the word compliment. Compliments make people feel loved. You're the kind of person that says, boy, I'm proud of you. Oh, man, yeah, you're so good with numbers. You're so good around the house. You did such a great job. You like to boost people up. If you have the love language of words of affirmation, that's what you do. You use that all the time. But you want, listen, if you're married, y'all, to somebody whose language is words of affirmation, what you want to do is you want to affirm them. Because that's what they understand. That's their language. You want to compliment them. Everybody with me so far? For your notes, I want you to write the word show interest. Words of affirmation show interest in what the other person is doing and motivate the other person to continue doing their best. Hey, let's stop the nagging. Hey, that trash bag. One true, honest individual in the crowd. She says, that trash bag is not going to develop legs and walk out of here. Okay, well, that's not a word of affirmation. A word of affirmation, for your notes, recognizes effort. So in your relationship, if you're married to somebody whose love language is words of affirmation, recognize their effort verbally, okay? You're such an amazing cook. I noticed you took the trash out. Thank you. I noticed you changed the roll of toilet paper. Thank you. Sometimes a new roll of toilet paper is sitting there by the empty little thing. It's like, I thought you were going to do it. Do it! Thanks for keeping the place look clean. You do such an amazing job. You know, they were interviewing Tom Brady the other day, the GOAT. He's now a commentator. They asked him about his career. Man, he's won so many championships. This guy is top notch. He said, the most important influential person in my life, he was asked. He said, he almost started crying. He said, my dad. And then he went on to expand on this. And he said, my parents believed in me. And they always said I could do it. And they always helped me and lifted me up. And then he said, when I went into the combine, which is where football players go to see how fast they are, how accurate they are, how well they move, right? He said, I was probably the slowest guy there. But my mom was like, oh, you are so fast. And he said, I know I wasn't the fast one. But they kept motivating me and affirming me. And the problem with us sometimes is we can get so negative. And we're always nitpicking about the negative things and kind of glossing over the good, positive things that exist. So let's be positive. Number two. By the way, anybody here with the words of affirmation, you think, I think that's my love language. Anybody I know, you don't have to raise your hand, okay? You don't have to raise your hand. Number two, quality time. Here's a love language, quality time. You know the Lord Jesus, when his disciples were tired because so many people were constantly after him and crowding over them, Jesus said, let's go to a faraway place so we can relax. Quality time. And we find Jesus one-on-one with his disciples. They were hard to learn, like I am. They were like, what that mean, Lord? You know, he's telling a story. He's like, what that mean? So when they were alone, they'd be like, we didn't get it. And Jesus would explain it to them. He spent quality time with his loved ones. And you know, quality time is anything. For your notes, folks with this love language are looking for uninterrupted time spent with their mate. If your mate's love language is quality time, but you don't have any time to give that person is going to feel unloved and underappreciated. If you're married to a person who is all about quality time, hey, let's watch a Netflix show together. Let's go for a walk together. Let's go for a bike ride together, or whatever it may be. Right? Let's just chill. Let's just do some chilling time, right? If you're love to somebody that's like that, but all you're doing is affirming and affirming and affirming, and affirming is good. Affirming is good. But you're giving no quality time, you're not speaking that person's love language. Do whatever you have to do to spend quality time with your loved one. whether the love language is quality time or not, boy, I tell you, quality time is missing in our relationships. Because we're constantly on the go. We're constantly doing things. We got to go here. We got to go there. Oh, I got a meeting over there. Oh, I got to do over this. That. We have no time for the people we love. And the day goes by, and here comes the night, and no time barely was spent together. The next day, wake up, you go through the same routine. It's nighttime again, and you barely spend any time together doing anything really quality. And it's like the time is going by. I share with you, to me, the older I'm getting, the faster the clock is running. And I'm like, where's the time going? Why am I wasting it on the unimportant? You know my heart. My personality type is order. And maybe we'll get to personality types. Yeah, but I'm like a party guy. I want to do things. I want to go. I want to hang. But I got to shift down gears. Because I know that I'm married to a quality time girl. You with me? If I'm married to a quality time girl, guess what? I am going to spend quality time. I better. Number three. You can hear a pin drop around here. Number three. Giving and receiving gifts. Giving and receiving. That's a love language. Some people love to give gifts to their loved ones. That's how they communicate their love. Jesus did that, by the way. Jesus gave gifts. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is like a father who gives good gifts to his children. Jesus gave gifts. You say, where do you get that from? Well, for one thing, he gave a great big catch of fish to a bunch of fishermen. And that equated to some good cash, by the way. He went to a party, wedding party, and the couple ran out of wine. You find that in John chapter 2, the gospel. And that would have been an embarrassing tragedy in that couple's life. Jesus found out about it. The mom came to Jesus and said, hey, listen, they ran out of wine. And then Jesus says to one of the servants, say, hey, listen, you see those pots of water over there? Take some water out, you know, and you know the story, and it became the best, most expensive wine the guy in charge of the ceremony had tasted. Jesus gave him a gift, though nobody knew who did it, other than the servants. Jesus was like that. There was a time when him and his boy Peter were walking around, and the Romans were like, hey, you got to pay your tax. And so Jesus says to Peter, hey, go fishing, bro. First fish you catch is going to have the coin that we need to pay the taxes. Remember that? Jesus had a sense of humor, y'all. I know we think of him as being, but no. He had a sense of humor. And of course, Peter went fishing, found a fish. Oh, look, there's a coin there. Pfft, paid it. Done. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus sent out the 12 and gave them power over demons and power to do all kinds of things. You remember when the guys came back? They were all excited. Whoa! Even demons surrender to us. Jesus loved giving, right? And if your primary language is giving gifts and receiving gifts, that's how you express your love. I thought about you, and I got you this. Johnny, the other day, I was at Cracker Barrel, and I saw a jar of butter jelly, and I bought it for you. Okay. I love Johnny. You like butter jelly, don't you? Or something like that? Yes, you do. Right. I know you. I know you do. Yeah. So, see, I'm hanging around, about to have dinner, and then I think of Johnny. I'm like, man, I gotta get this for Johnny. Now, by the way, Johnny, I do not have the gift-giving love language, so don't expect it, all right? Just how it is. I just don't have that kind of, that's not my love language, bro. It just it isn't. It's just an illustration. But wait till Christmas. Anyway, I'm just saying, if you have this kind of love language, you buy gifts. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. In fact, people with this kind of love language, the giving and receiving of little things, they'll send emojis to their loved ones. Oh! Oh, what a joy. You all know what emojis are, right? Yeah. Or a cute text or something or another. Just a little gift. Hey, I was thinking about you. Doink. Oh, if you're married to somebody with this kind of a love language, get in the business of giving gifts. Little things. For your notes. A gift is a token / symbol of your love. I know Doreen lies. She loves gifts, gift giving. That's part of her love languages. It's just not mine. Just not mine. But for our 20th anniversary, I decided to do something cute. Thank you. So I decided a countdown from 20 until day one of our anniversary, from 20 days before the anniversary, I started buying her gifts that would match how many days were left until the anniversary. So 20 days out, for example, I bought 2 packs of gum that she likes, and that would have 10 slices each. That meant 20 days before the anniversary. You with me? 19 days before the anniversary, I may have bought her an anklet that had 19 little clasps together. 18 days, I bought what are those little Chinese little trees that are like things? Anyway, I bought this thing that I counted the rocks and I counted the 2 plants and it all added to 17. And it went on and on and on and on. That was memorable. I'm not doing that for 50, I can tell you. I'll be going crazy. I'll be like, 50 beads. Sorry. All right. For your notes. The best gift you could ever give is the gift of self, by the way. Number 4. We got to hurry this up. Number 4. Acts of love. It's a love language. Acts of love and service. You know what Jesus, what the Bible says? Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Can I hear an amen? Because Jesus stepped out of heaven and came into our world and became like a servant and allowed himself to be beaten and crucified for our sins, so that we could be forgiven one day. Man, Jesus was all about acts of love and service. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're watching me on Facebook right now, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to tell you the Lord came down and showed you how much he loved you by dying for you and for me. And if you haven't given your heart to Christ, anybody here or over there watching me on Facebook, if you haven't given your heart to Christ, I'll tell you what, you're missing out on the best part of life. Acts of love and service. A person with this kind of language feels very, very loved when others do something for them because they find themselves doing something for the other person all the time. You say, well, I don't like to clean around the house. I know my wife has the acts of love and service, but I don't like to clean. Well, get to cleaning. Well, I like to do dishes. Do them anyway. Do whatever you can to serve your mate. For your notes, communicate your love by doing. Whatever that may mean to you. Number 5. Here's a love language. physical touch. Physical touch. This has nothing to do with romance or anything like that. Physical touch. The Bible tells us that Jesus lifted children and held them in his arms. Physical touch. When Peter walked on water towards Jesus and then he sank. Remember what Jesus did? Reached out and grabbed him. Come on, bro. Lifted him up. And they both walked back into the boat. The Bible tells us that the beloved disciple John, during the Last Supper, the night Jesus was going to be arrested, he's just leaning his head over Jesus' chest. Jesus is all about physical touch, man. So physical touch has to do with a rubbing of the shoulders, a pat, a holding of the hands, a hug. And also people are like, I'm not huggy-huggy. There's a guy that comes here that tells me, I'm not a huggy-huggy person. When I met him, I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm not a huggy person. All right, it's cool. It's all right. He said, well, I'm not a huggy-huggy, but if you're married to a huggy-huggy person, hug him. You know, my daddy was not an affectionate guy. My dad was not now, him and I were tight. We were best friends. He was not an affectionate guy at all. But one day I gave him a kiss on all the stubs in his face, and he went like this. I'm like, it's okay, Dad. Just wanted to tell you, I love you. I miss my daddy, man. I want to see him again in heaven. But he just wasn't a physical touch kind of guy. So if you're married to a physical touch person, make sure you touch him regularly. Yeah, whatever. Research shows that a person needs, listen, 10 meaningful touches a day. You need 10 meaningful touches a day. I need 10 meaningful touches a day. Of course, I heard of this guy who said, okay, well, here. He went to his wife. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Done. You got to communicate with the target of your mate's way of love. I close with this. Because all this requires thought. The Bible is awesome, right? The Bible is awesome. Always gives us answers. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, don't worry about anything. Instead, he said, pray about everything. And here's my prayer. How can I show my wife how much I love her? Prayer, Lord, refine my marriage. God Almighty, make my marriage great again. Help me know, help me see the ways I can show my love to my loved ones. God will answer that prayer. Because Jesus showed his love for the ones he loved. Amen? And that's all God wanted me to say for today. Right? Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we covered a lot of ground here, a lot of stories we just couldn't get into. We couldn't read because of time restrictions. Thank you for loving us and showing us your love through your son, Jesus. He loved us so much, he stretched out his hands and says, how much I love you. Father, our families need each one of us. Our marriages, our relationships, they need us. They need us to express. Help us, Lord God, express love to our loved ones the way you love us, God. Help us not just show it, but say it. Father, there might be somebody watching me on Facebook as we're all praying here and we're seeking you out. You're watching me on Facebook, but you say, man, I've never given my heart to Christ. Maybe you're sitting here saying, I've never given my heart to Christ. I want to know him. I want to go to heaven one day. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. So this morning, right now, if you like to ask Jesus in your heart for the first time ever, you can tell him something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me the way you do. Thank you for showing me your love by dying for me on a cross. Thank you for resurrecting from the dead. God, this morning, today, I surrender my life to you. I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come inside my heart right now, be my Savior and my God. And I commit my life to you this morning, today. Thank you for listening. Help me live for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Listen, if you just ask Jesus Christ to save your soul for the very first time, you've never done that before, but this morning you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You raise your hand, put it back down. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm asking you right now. Anybody here give your heart to Christ or her heart to Christ? Anybody here? Father, thank you for your word. It's truth. It's relevant. Help us live by your precepts, God. And Father, I just ask you to help strengthen the marriages that are represented here. God, just ask you to somehow lift up people who are hurting right here in this group. Thank you for being such a great, awesome, amazing God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for taking notes and looking.